Welcome to Talks at Stellenbosch Uni, Stellenbosch University's podcast where we talk about current topics and innovative research done at the university.
In the studio today, we have four postgraduate students from Stellenbosch University's Department of Botany and Zoology. These four have been selected to participate in the Global Alliance of Universities for Climate, to participate in the Climate X program. Now, apparently they are the first cohort of students from Africa to take part in this program. So we would say a big welcome to Kay Murray, Yensiwe Mbuyisa, Nosipho Taleni, and Olivia Jones. Now, can you please just first, before we go into this, give me a quick rundown of what the GAUC is, please?
Hi, Vida. Yes, this is Olivia speaking. GAUC was an organization that was initially founded by eight member universities in January of 2019, and since has recruited a total of 15 member universities, which I think you mentioned Stellenbosch is the only one to actually represent Africa. And according to their website, their mission statement is that they aim to advance climate change solutions through research, education, and public outreach, and to partner with industry, nonprofit, and government organizations to promote rapid implementation from local to global scales. And they intend to pursue this mission by promoting exchange and cooperation among member universities and providing leadership of global higher education efforts addressing climate change. And how us ambassadors fit into this, how I see it is that we're all students from very specialized fields. Like, for example, we are all global change ecologists. And GAUC has set up a series of lectures for us from different professors around the world on various sustainable development goals. And in doing so has opened us to many different angles that you can look at a wicked problem like climate change. And they enable youth like us to then have a voice in climate change solutions that are actually viable given this broad scope.
Thank you. Now, you are all postgraduate students, so I'm quite sure you're very busy and overloaded and with a lot of responsibilities. And what made you decide to participate in this program, to go the extra mile and make the effort, give up your weekends to participate?
Hi, this is Nosipho speaking. So the journey to finishing our postgraduate degrees has made us realize that our passion lies amongst providing future sustainable solutions for climate change. To preserve the best of nature for generations to come is one of the reasons in the many that we have. I personally believe that living fully comes with achieving your life's purposes, and being part of this program has been one of them. All of us are global change biology students, meaning we have been exposed to climate change studies, and therefore we are aware of the ongoing environmental changes and the consequences we may face. It is our passion to help others realize this reality and try to reverse it in order to save all life form on Earth from terrible suffering. Since we come from a streamlined faculty, we have a narrow perspective. So many of us joined GAUC because it is so interdisciplinary. For instance, you get to learn about climate change in relation to a lot of things such as finance, governance and negotiation, adaptation and resilience, food, nature and biodiversity, etc. Of which some we had little knowledge of how they relate to climate. Moreover, these lessons have come from cultures all over the world with different experiences and unique perspectives. We believe that GAUC will give us a more practical idea of viable climate change solutions. On a greater scale, we believe that GAUC is building strong networks of people working towards the same goal in the battle against climate change and really against ourselves. The cooperation of diverse groups with multidisciplinary expertise is the only way to succeed.
If we think about climate change in Africa, we know that especially women are going to be affected much more. And a big problem there is the fact that climate literacy, for example, that people don't know what climate is and what is causing it. So if you think what you can bring to the table in terms of all for, of female and non-binary people here in Africa, what What do you think you can bring more to the table that will help in this problem, addressing this problem in Africa?
Thanks, Vida. This is Yenzi. And I think as we've all shared our sentiments that being a part of this initiative, at Stellenbosch University, we're representing Africa, and it's the only university representing Africa, basically the only African representative on the platform. And that's incredible, and it speaks volumes because the climate scene is often very much Western, very much cis male, and very much old. So being able to be a part of this initiative as females or non-binary and being African, that means that our perspective will also be considered in major negotiations. And we've seen that oftentimes policy and legislation that is currently being made often favors the West. It often favors profit making, and it doesn't really speak a lot to what Africa needs. And we often bear negative repercussions of whatever policy has been institutionalized. So this is a chance for us to now make sure that African needs are catered for. And in the same breath, women are predicted, or should say research rather, to be probably the most vulnerable people when it comes to climate impact. And being able to be here on this platform as females and as cis and non-binary people, we will be able to make sure that our needs and our priorities are catered for. And as the youth, this is our world that we're going to be living in, and it's just important that we make sure that we create and have inputs on how we want that world to look like in the end, and that our needs are also prioritized and catered for as well.
So maybe we can ask the question, that's a huge burden, hey, or a huge responsibility for the youth to take on. You are studying climate change, you're exposed to it every day, you are now being exposed even more. As young people, how are you dealing with this?
Hello, this is Kaylee. Okay. Not dealing terribly well with it, but there is a sense of camaraderie amongst young people that helps us get through it. I know it sounds silly, but internet memes are really a saving grace. They give us the opportunity to blow off steam and to externalize the problem, even though it is our problem, it is our everyday. A lot of people bring up this theory that life is always very difficult and we've always had a lot of problems. It's easy to feel like today they are compounded and a lot worse. It's not very useful for me to think about it in terms of comparison. Right now, we have a situation in which the most vulnerable people on the planet are going to be hit the worst by events that they did not contribute to bringing into existence. It's unfair and it's unjust. And it's also going to affect everything for young people. What we're being seeing in the world now is that the West and the choices of the West, or the global North, to put it in a different term, dictates what happens on a global scale. And that is mainly driven by profit and corporate interest, and not necessarily by ethics. But now we're seeing people in the global North experiencing the worst of climate change. And that is for the first time driving people to trying to do something about it. From an African perspective, we have already been experiencing climate change for a very long time. I think that that's the reason why it's important to have these youth voices from South Africa, from Africa, in these discussions, because we know and can stand up for the policies that need to be put into place in order to take people in Africa into account, and in other developing nations in the world. And students, especially as students, we have access to this information. We personally, all four of us, have access to what exactly is going to happen in our ecosystems, what's going to happen to our agricultural systems. But like we were saying before, we are in these academic silos and we need to have crosstalk between different faculties and different fields in order to understand how our information, how our science can be applied to finance, to economics and policy. And that's what Gork has done for us. And it's been very empowering. It's been amazing. But as you said, it is something we have to deal with. And it's very difficult to deal with alone. So I'm very grateful that we have a very big group. It's not only us four from Stellenbosch. There's about 12, 16 people from Wood Sciences as well, people from the business school. And it's been important to have this kind of doing this process together, because it's not easy. And it helps to be able to share our experiences. And so, yeah, I hope that people don't hear this or read the things that we're doing and get discouraged. It's more important to lean on your community in these kinds of situations than to try and go it alone. I think that's been proven over and over again.
Yeah, so we have four beautiful young people sitting here in front of me. And as they say, we just have to and can change the narrative. There are different narratives going on, and that it can be one of despair, but it can also be one of hope and saying we are going to change. It is going to be for the better, and that's the kind of narrative we want out there, and ignore the other one. So in previous conversations, each one of you had a very specific idea of what you want to take home from this program. One of you said going back to vulnerable communities. Kay, you've just said breaking down those silos. Both of you have said that. Maybe I can just give each one of you a chance to say either to say, if you hear in your heart, after this program and as a student and as a young adult one of these days, as a scientist, but also as a citizen, global citizen, and an African citizen, there's one thing that you can do. What will that be?
That's kind of a loaded question, because there's so much we want to do and there's so many things that we want to contribute towards. But I think for me personally, one thing is just making sure that accurate and reasonable information is given to people. Kay and I were having a conversation last week sometime talking about the youth voice, and we want the youth to be heard. But what are they actually saying? Like, what are we saying to people? We can be as loud as we want to and get a huge network of people supporting and following our cause, but what is our cause? And especially with Gork, it's been a platform for us to learn so much more from different people through different perspectives about this cause of climate change, and realizing the urgency and just the role that we can also play within it. And it's given us, for me personally, I feel more confident in talking about what climate change means and what it means for me as a student, as a female, as an African, and being able to communicate that information to other people who are like me, and just showing them the value of caring about what's happening to the environment and nature and biodiversity and how it contributes to their livelihood is, I think, a goal of mine that I really want to try and achieve, being able to communicate accurate and efficient information that will hopefully help other people as well.
I would say that through this program, it's become quite highlighted to me that you can't go into an issue like climate change alone with just one personal goal. So previously I would have said throughout my undergraduate, what I really want to do is be involved in rewilding areas and restoring areas and reversing climate change through regeneration and increasing of carbon sequestration and other things like that. But I'm realizing that these things aren't possible without great policy that's well implemented and enables you to do such things. And it's not possible without other disciplines being involved. And also that maybe even on a greater scale, networking with people. I'm currently working in a group of girls from Brazil, Mexico, France, and all of them have completely different perspectives. They've worked with different organizations who do different things to those that I've worked with. And so I would say building these strong networks of people from multi-disciplines and from different worldly perspectives is going to be extremely important. And I'd like to broaden my view to achieve what I want to achieve in future.
Would you say that previously one feels very alone when you deal with these things, but through this program you are realizing now the power of networks, good policy? I'm rephrasing my question now from the previous one, because it's so very easy just to think, oh, it's just me alone against this impossible and then thing that's the climate, and then getting involved in a program like this that you have the opportunity to now, and then feeling empowered. Is that?
I personally would say that one feels very biased towards one's faculty. Like, I personally felt only ecologists and only biology students who study climate change would ever understand. But meeting with these people, you realize there are engineers working on incredible solutions. There are people in the financial world as well, just as invested and just as knowledgeable. So that's been really exciting, because then it feels like actually something could happen, maybe.
And I'd also say that climate change sometimes feels like it's an academic problem. It's just scientists who care about some bug that is going extinct. And it's not. It really isn't. So sometimes being in that space, you feel like you're on this academic high horse and you can't reach people. And this has just reignited the power that we actually have to contribute accurate information. And I think that's my biggest mandate, is just the amount of knowledge that is well-researched, well-founded, and speaks directly to people. Just receiving that on this platform has been incredible for me. So, and realizing there's so many other people that have the same keenness and energy to take initiative and to take action has been so exciting, really.
It is impossible for one field to tackle climate change alone. It's not just like needing community to band together. Like Liv and Yenzi were just saying, it's you have to have good policy in order to allow, for example, carbon sequestration to happen through ecosystem restoration and protection. That's usually the goal of our field, is to understand the evolution and biodiversity of our extremely biodiverse systems, so that we know how to protect them, so that they can carry on playing their role and they can carry on sequestering carbon. That's usually our aim. And we can work as much as we want on getting all the information possible to provide it to policymakers. Doesn't mean anything without finance. And it doesn't mean anything if these kinds of projects are financed and then they fail because we have a bad understanding of it or because it hasn't been implemented properly. We won't have that understanding. We won't understand how to get finance. We don't understand how the projects need to be implemented properly unless we have exposure to all these other people in these fields that we have been exposed to through Gawk. So not only that, but coming onto these meetings every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock for how many? 2 months now. One of the sessions was 3.5 hours. I'm not going to lie, it's been a bit rough. a bit more than I, a bit off more than I could chew. But one of the things that struck me was feeling very alone writing my master's proposal and then going on to these meetings where there are people from all over the world who speak different languages and just are different people, all thinking about the same thing from different perspectives, obviously, but it did give me a large feeling of togetherness and like camaraderie that has helped me. It has helped me figure out that I can speak about this. It has helped me figure out that we literally have to do something about it. It's not something that is idealistic anymore. It's not a rah-rah fantasy. It's like, it is literally necessary. So, and someone has to do it, and that's what we're getting trained to do. So, yeah, definitely it is easy to feel alone, but you kind of have to climb out of that pit and look around you, find something to stick your feet in, you know?
And even realizing they all have dissertations, they all have jobs, and at the end of the day, you have to do things on top of each other because you can't say, look, I'm busy now. Everybody's busy now.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And I definitely think we should do a follow-up. It seems as if the first time I spoke to you when you started this program and that you are now 2 months into it, I mean, there's such a lot to share. You're going to Cairo, Egypt, at the end of the year?
Possibly. So some of us will maybe. We're not too clear on the process yet.
Okay.
Just trying to focus on our theses.
Okay, that sounds like a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah,
so
hopefully.
It's the COP conference of the parties at the end of the year, and it's happening in Africa. So it would be lovely to speak to you again, either just before or after that. All the best with your studies, and this is a fantastic opportunity, and it's wonderful to see how you're embracing it and taking it up with, it's like eating the universe. You are there, you are grasping it. So well done.
Thanks very much for the opportunity, for talking to us. It's been good to try and get this information out there.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Follow all the latest Stellenbosch University news at www.sun.ac.za or follow us on all the largest social media platforms.